Today we're going to talk about football and how the sport of football might make your volleyball program a lot more efficient and make your players more skilled. And one of the things that we get a lot of feedback on is when we have visitors to our gym, a lot of people have told us that just the way the program is organized looks a lot more like a football program than a traditional volleyball program. And I have a tendency to agree with that. I played college football. And the background that I have always developed our training regimen around has been around what I learned in the sport of football. And not so much exercises or lifting exercises or drills or anything like that, but more about the concept of the way we organize and the way we develop talent. And this podcast is going to be about that. So I like a lot of the concepts in the sport of football. Football kind of has a warrior mentality, which I think develops toughness among its players. I mentioned in the last podcast on culture that I think the quality of toughness is very important because it allows everybody, anybody and everybody to get back up after getting knocked down. And I think that toughness is a core value that you need to have, not only in sports, but in life as well. So I like a lot of the things that football teams do to create that. There's a lot of group training. There's a lot of shared sacrifice and shared struggling that makes the heartbeat of a team even stronger and more resilient. And I think there's benefit in those qualities at every level for every sport. So, but more importantly than the mental side of it or the physical toughness side of it or anything like that is, I think the way football players are developed now, I think there's a lot of value in what we do, especially in the club level, but at every level, in how we train our athletes. We're always talking about, you know, teams win and lose as a team, and, you know, we lose as a team, we win as a team. And I think from a group perspective, I think that's certainly true. But one of the things that we know as coaches is that, you know, there's never a team that hits a ball in the net, or never a team that serves long, or never a team that lets a ball hit the ground. It's always a player. And it's how we teach and how we train our players that allow those players to maximize their ability and play at the highest level all the time. And so even though we're talking about developing teams a lot of the time, and at every level we want our teams to be successful, but the most important thing we have to do is we have to develop elite level players. And player development, especially at the club level, when we charge people money for services, and those services are paid for with the expectations that the individual is going to improve or maximize their improvement, I think the way we develop player talent is one of the things that we should look at and evaluate. And I didn't have the advantage of being a volleyball player when I was young. I didn't see a volleyball match till I was 24 years old. So I think in a lot of ways that's helped me as a coach in thinking about the way I want players to develop their individual skills. And the key is how do we maximize our player development across the board? Every player reaches her or his level of potential so we can have the best teams possible as well. And one of the things that happened in football years ago was the 7-on-7 passing leagues. And the 7-on-7 high school passing leagues transformed college football, transformed recruiting, gave quarterbacks and receivers and defensive backs and virtually all the players except the linemen a ton of reps in game-like situations in their position without actually playing a football game, because there's no contact, there's no hitting. It's 7-on-7. It's not 11-on-11. So it's not a pure game per se, but the situations that are trained over and over again, the timing, the technique, and the repetitions are much just like a game, just like a game. So one of the things that we look at is how do we look, and what I've always thought about, how do I take these concepts that I learned as an athlete? Because my day as a college athlete was we went out every day as a group and we warmed up, you know, we did our stretching and stuff like that. And then we broke off into our positions. So I was a defensive back. So I went with the defensive backs. We went with our position coach. We worked on all of our techniques, our footwork, a lot of different drills for our technique, for our skill. And then the receivers would come over and then we would work against the receivers. So it would be receivers versus defensive backs. Quarterbacks would be throwing to receivers. And you're always working on situations that you play in competition, but we didn't do any hitting. There really was very little hitting. And now, especially now in you know, fast forward to 2020, football has very little hitting, but the timing and the tempo and the coordination and the dynamics of football, it's so timing oriented and the execution level is so high, but they rarely play games. and they rarely play full 11 on 11. They rarely hit each other in practice. They only play 14 to 18 games a year. So one of the things that we're always told in volleyball is that we have to play all the time to be good at playing. And, a club player will play 80 matches a year, and a high school player will play another 40 matches a year. And so as a country, our volleyball players play more volleyball than anybody in the world. I'm just not sure that we train at the same level that a lot of countries train at. So I think one of the things that we want to think about is how do we develop talent? And I think the first thing we want to look at is the skill components of positions. And we spend a lot of our time in practice on position training. And so by that I mean the setters will be working on the things that setters do. The middle blockers will be working on the things that middle blockers do. The outside hitters will be working on the things that outside hitters do. And the libero slash DSers will be working on the things that they do as well. And one of the most important things that we want every player to do is to be able to execute the skills that their position has to execute at the highest level over and over again. And we have this slight tug of war going on right now. Does the game teach the game, or random versus block training? And I think there's a lot of there's a lot of questions that we'll answer in later podcasts, but I think one of the things that we talk about right now is how do we get each player to play at the highest level? And one of the things I think we as coaches and directors want to do is we want to look at each position. And in general, if I'm a libero, I've got to pass. I've got to play great defense. I've got to be able to set the ball. If that's what my team does is if I take the second ball, I've got to be able to underhand and overhand the ball to all the different positions for attack. And I've got to be an aggressive server if I'm allowed to serve. So those are the things that that position does. So one of the things that you do is you look at the skills within that position, and then you also look at, what are the situations within those skills. And skills have sub-skills. I mean, the skill of overhand passing has front set, it has back set, it has jump set, it has side set, it has underhand setting. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we look at. So that's one of the things that we try to break down in a practice setting. And I really believe that as a coach and a director, if you look at how do you take each position and train the situations that those positions encounter in competition, that you have a chance to train a much, much more well-rounded player. And by this I mean, let's take a certain position, let's take a certain skill, and let's say you're an outside hitter and you want to be an off blocker defender and you've got to transition outside and you've got to take a swing at the ball. Okay. You can play games all day and you can say, well, how many repetitions am I going to actually get where the left front hitter has to come underneath, cover the tip, get back outside, take a swing against a single or double block? How many times am I going to get that situation? And, it's only going to happen a few times. So you're going to have to play thousands of hours or hundreds of hours at least of competition game situations to get enough of those situations so you start to read and react properly in those situations. And so one of the things I think that I'm a big believer in is I look at the and everybody says you've got to do things that are game-like, which I'm not going to disagree with that. I think one of the things that I guess I would say is you want to perform skills in the manner that they're performed in competition. And so that takes me back to what we call situational game reps. And I think one of the things that you look at is, how do I implement those? And I think as coaches, when I sit down and design a practice, I try to put in not only just random reps, which means we don't know how we're going to play it. It's random play, which is how the game is played. But within a game, there's so many situations that happen again and again and again, but they don't happen enough to get a lot of good repetitions. And so, one of the things that we'll do with an outside hitter is, an outside hitter will work against either a coach on a box, or maybe you've got left front versus left front, and you've got to dig and get back outside and transition where the ball's going over the net at maybe 50 or 60%. But we get a lot of repetitions in a short period of time. And as each player goes through those situations again and again and again, the body starts to become comfortable. It starts to be able to repeat its actions in a more efficient manner. And so instead of taking a game where you just play a game and you wait a long time to get your repetitions in, one of the things to think about is how do we do things game-like, which is what this takes me back to football. Football works on almost exclusively situations, almost all the time. You know, if you're a left guard in football, you have certain situations you encounter. If you're a left corner, if you're a wide receiver, if you're a running back, if you're a fullback, if you're a quarterback, I mean, you do all the things that your position demands, and you do it over and over and over again until you master all those positions. And again, you have very little full game opportunities to do it. It's almost all drill and training. And then you automatically get good at your techniques within those situations. So I think that's one of the things that I think are really important. And it's one of the reasons why as a volleyball program, if we look at all the things that each position has to master and do, there's a lot of times there's easier ways to master those. And one of those skills is four skills. I mean, if you want to teach rolling or diving or sprawling or anything like that, it's going to take you forever to encounter those situations in a game where you can get enough of those repetitions to master and be good at it, as opposed to, you know, a pretty simple rolling drill, either run by another player or a coach, where your body gets used to rolling or diving or getting on the ground for the ball, whether it's a sprawl or collapse or a side layout or any of those techniques. But you have to get used to those. And so there's so many opportunities as a player and as a coach where we can give our players a lot of multiple reps, high repetition, and short periods of time, so they start to master that situation. Because one of the things that you want to do is you want to ultimately to be a great player is you want to master as many game-like situations as possible, and then you also want to get used to reading within those situations. I think that's one of the things that's really very, very important. And I look at the way middles work. I look at the way setters work. I look at the way, you know, outsides or right side or left side, and then, you know, the libero DSs and almost any position. And we can spend a lot more time in our programs on just versus 6-on-6 playing, where, you know, a lot of players don't touch the ball very often in 6-on-6 versus, you know, maybe less 6-on-6 but more concentrated. And some of those can just be situations like it could be left side has to dig and hit cross court versus a single block to the libero, you know, and you're looking at rally games like that, or you're looking at a situation like that, or you know, the left side's got to come underneath, play the tip, swing back outside, go line against a double block, and you know, something like that, or wipe off, or things like that. You can do a lot of reps in a game-like situation like that in a short period of time, and you know, the player becomes more accomplished, the player becomes more skilled in those situations, and I think you have better benefit from that, and you start to develop a more elite level player. That's pretty much the way volleyball is played all the way around the world. I mean, if you go to around the world and you watch all the best players, there's a lot of training and not just playing. And every day there's, you know, there's multiple courts being used, multiple positions. But it's one of the things I think sometimes that we neglect as volleyball coaches and as club directors is how do we maximize that opportunity? And, you know, if you walk in our gym, a lot of the times you're going to see, if we have, you know, 8 or 10 courts going, whatever number of courts going, we may have, you know, we may spend 30 to 40%, especially early in the year, 30 to 40% of practice, or maybe more, in position training. So all of our positions, from different age groups, the middles will go down and work with our coaches who are specialized in training middle blockers. So it'll be footwork. It'll be, you know, attack repetition footwork. It'll be block to transition footwork. You know, coaches might toss to the hitters, but the hitters are getting used to running routes. The hitters are getting used to, you know, working on their blocking footwork. And, you know, the setters are off on their court doing their own thing, working on setting technique. And then at some point, we may bring the setters together to work with the middles. But, you know, everybody has their specific skills that they want to work on. And we spend a lot more time on that than I think a lot of clubs do. Because our belief is that when kids come to us to play for us, and I've said this previously as well, if you've heard me talk, is they're always coming to improve themselves to a level where they can leave and go to another program at a higher level. So a lot of times we get caught up and we're just going to do everything for the team. And a lot of times when you put a team together, the way a team works, it becomes, I don't want to say it becomes cliquish, but there becomes a pattern of when you play, certain players touch the ball a lot, other players don't touch the ball very often. But yet we have in clubs, we have every kid who's paying the same amount of money. They should receive the same exact amount of service. And that means they get the same quality touches. They get to improve at the same level everybody else gets to improve at. And I think that's one of the things that we've always taken to heart as a club, is that how do we maximize the exposure of our kids to improve to the best of their ability? And the way that we've figured out to do that is we train positions, we train players way more than we train teams. We also figure out if we can develop a lot of good players, it means that we put those players together. They will play at a high level as a team. And also, one of the things it also means is as we put those players together, the more quality players we have, what we have is we have people fighting for positions on those highest teams because there's more good players than there are actually positions to play. And so I think it's a win-win for us in a lot of ways. I think it could be a win-win for virtually every program. I think some people get caught up on, especially people who carry large numbers on their teams. If you're going to carry 12 or 14 kids on a team and you're not going to be practicing on two sides of the court, I mean, if you've got 14 kids on one court and you've got six or seven on one side and six or seven on the other, then you're going to get good quality training. But if you've got a team of 12 on one side and you've got a team of 12 on the other, you're going to have a lot of downtime for a lot of kids, which means they're not going to improve at the same level as other kids will improve who are maybe in your top seven or eight of your group of 12. And so one of the things that we think is really important is the development of players. And one of the things that we looked at was, as we talk about football, is football players develop at a very, very high level with very little play. I mean, and talk about timing and tempo. I mean, if you've ever watched any, high level football, I mean, the execution of the skills is just phenomenal. I mean, players are they're explosive and dynamic, and part of it in football is there's so much emphasis on the physical development of football. I mean, you spend so much time in the weight room to be bigger, faster, stronger, and there's a lot of benefit in volleyball for that as well. I mean, if our volleyball players get more explosive, get more dynamic, jump 1 or 2 inches higher, have are 1 step faster, can react a little bit better, they're only going to be good volleyball players as well. But I think the biggest thing for us is that we looked at the development of talent, and we always have felt like that the way football players develop their positions, because in football, you always start with the ball dead. I mean, the ball is snapped, and then everybody executes their position. Volleyball is a little bit different because the ball moves continuously from one contact to two contacts to three contacts as it goes over the net. But still, the execution of each player within their skill dynamic, whether you're a passer or you're a setter or you're an attacker, I mean, you're still playing in situations over and over again. And I think one of the things we can do is we can recreate those situations much better in a organized training environment than we can if we just throw out the ball and say, let's play 6-on-6. I mean, it's true. If you could play hundreds of hours of volleyball, you're going to see all those situations eventually. And if you could play every day a lot, then you're going to get very skilled at those. But we really don't have the opportunity to do that. And one of the things that we have to do also is we have to look at how can we catch kids up that may not have the same level of experience as kids who are older. We may have gifted kids who are physically gifted. They may have great jumping skills. They may have great powerful arm swings, but maybe they haven't played very much. And so how do we give those players, how do we give those players more experience? And they really have to see situations. They really have to get game experience. And game experience is different than training experience. And I think one of the things that you can do in training is you can accelerate the growth of a player pretty dramatically in pretty short periods of time if you focus on, what are the things that that player has to do to become better at their skill or their position. I think that's one of the things that is really going to be really important going forward for a lot of people is that just how do we become more efficient? And it always literally comes back to efficiency. I mean, it's getting the greatest amount of work done in the shortest amount of time. And we always think as coaches we don't have enough time. Players probably think they're always working too much, but as coaches we always wish we had more time. But if we know we have time limitations, and the thing that we have to do is we have to make sure that we look at how we can maximize our time and as opposed to wasting time. And I think that's one of the key things about, how do you get players running as many drills as possible? How do you get the situations that players go through? They need to be game-like. Granted, 100% agree with that, but also they really need to be reps that occur in competition. And so, we do a lot of small group training, threes and fours and sometimes five, but a lot of threes and fours, because just in a group of three or four, the ball's going to get touched a lot more. And if even if we're playing across the net and it's three versus three, it's left front left back and a setter versus left front left back and a setter, and the left front hitters have to hit sharp cross court to the to the left front or the left back, and you've got to work on transition. We do a lot of rally games where it's 50, 60%, because then every time the ball crosses the net and every time the ball is touched successfully, it's not only a reading opportunity for the players, but it's an execution situational opportunity as well. And so instead of just going out there and crushing the ball and spending more time shagging than we are training, we do a lot of what we call rally training. And rally training is just to give the players those opportunities to execute game situations over and over again. And we'll do the same thing with floor skills. I mean, I'll get a part, if I'm a player and you're a player, I'll have you toss balls to me and I'll dive four times and you'll dive four times, and then I'll roll three times right and left and you'll do the same thing. And we want players to pick up floor skills quickly, because the sooner they pick them up, the sooner they get comfortable getting on the floor, then they start to execute those floor skills in game situations. Until they're comfortable with those floor skills, no matter where the ball is in the game, they're not going to use them. And so we want to try to give those players the ability to use all their skills to keep the ball in play, to execute, to execute the skills, and to complete the repetition. And so I think that's one of the things that's really going to be important is, and one of the things I would suggest is that you, regardless if you're a junior high coach or a high school coach, you're a club coach, you're looking at your team to play at the highest level possible. But within the ability for any team to play at the highest level, you're only going to be as strong as your weakest link. And so if you have players that don't do things well, that don't execute well, either they're going to be identified through scouting if you play at a high level and coaches get a chance to watch your team enough, or they're just going to make enough mistakes in a game or a match that's going to give the other team the opportunity to be successful. And so no matter what we talk about, team development, and we all want our teams to be successful, it literally comes back to the player development, is how do we develop each individual player? How do we maximize the development of each player? How do we make each player play at her or his highest level possible? And once we have that formula down, once we can train each player to have, we're looking for no weaknesses. I mean, and the most important thing we're looking for, I think, as coaches and directors and program developers, is you want your strengths and your weaknesses to be as close together as possible. You want your best skills and your best players to not be head and shoulders above your worst players. You want everybody to be in a range where everybody can play at a high level, where there's not that one person or that one skill within the team dynamic that just is going to beat you every time. Whether it's, we can't serve receive, or we don't block, or we don't serve well. I mean, no matter what it is, you want your strongest skill and your weakest skill to be as close together as possible. I think that's one of the most important things. So I think that's the biggest thing. I think it keeps player morale high also. If your players come to the gym every day and they have a chance to get better because they spend lots of time working on their own skill, it's great for morale. I mean, morale is high. People are happy. There's a lot of energy in your gym. But if you walk in every day and there's, a team on one court, a team on the other court, and, the six or seven kids who are starters are getting most of the reps in, it's pretty easy to lose interest pretty quickly. And so, one of the things I would suggest to everybody is to think about how player development becomes your number one priority. I think it rings true for parents. I mean, when you talk to parents and say, listen, we're going to develop your daughters or your sons to be the best players possible. We're going to let the best players be the starters on the team, but we're going to give everybody a chance to maximize their improvement level. And again, if you're in a club, that's because the kids are going to leave you and they're going to go back to their high school teams, or they're trying to get ready to go to a college team, or some other situation. But it's one of the things that you want to make sure that you understand. I think that's the key for us is, the ability for every player to play at the highest level possible. And it's one of the things that I think football does probably better than any other sport. Every position has its own coach. Every position has its own dynamics to develop players. And while football is a different game than volleyball, it's amazing how the level that they play football at, with very little full 11-on-11 scrimmaging, with very little, I mean, very few games in a given year. But if you know football players, if you talk about, and I've talked about Tom Brady and other people, I mean, the hundreds of hours that they put in outside of their practice perfecting their craft, watching video, throwing. I mean, receivers and quarterbacks, they spend hundreds, if not thousands, of hours together a year outside of practice, being the best they can be with each other. And it's all timing related, it's all situation related, it's all game situation related. So I think it's one of the things that to me has attracted me to the way we want to look at the way we train volleyball players is because we're training them to leave. For us, they're all leaving. They're all going somewhere else. When they get to that somewhere else, if they're not a great individual player, they're not going to play on that team because the team that they left in our program is gone. It will never be, that team will never be together again. And we have to train that player to be able to play at the highest level so they can go on and play on the next team at the highest level as well. So I'm going to encourage all of you to think about how you're going to train your players. And a lot of people don't think about football and volleyball being really related to each other, but I see a lot of the same dynamics. I think there's a lot of benefit that maybe people haven't thought about with the way football players are developed just because of the lack of game situations and game reps that they get in true games, and they have to be created. And I think there's a lot of value there. So I want to wish everybody the best of luck. And next week, we're going to be talking about the three big lies in volleyball. And we'll get more on that later. But we've gone through those for the last 30 years. When I first got involved in volleyball, you know, I was told that you have to do these things a certain way or you can't be successful. And, you know, pretty much my gut instinct at that time was that I don't think this is the right way to do it. And now, 35 years later, it's amazing how things have changed. So that's what we're going to be talking about next time, the three big lies. So I want to wish all you guys the best and hope all of you stay safe and good luck to all of you and your programs. Thank you.